Hello, my name is Michael Nunley from Omen Comics and Revelation Comics. I had a great time on Comics and Pop-Tarts podcast talking about making comics on that long and windy road it takes to make them. I recommend this show to anyone who wants to give a little bit back to the community and for creators maybe learn a little something about making comics.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Comics and Pop-Tarts, the Tardy Party, the number one podcast in my mind, and you're part of the Pop-Tart Nation, and I appreciate you guys for showing up, joining with me, Alan Johnson, previously on the show.
Thanks for having us. Jesus will be on in just a minute.
Cool, man. We got a surprise guest for you tonight. Totally surprised. All thanks to Alan. He brought him to us, and we can't wait to talk to him, man. But congratulations on Kaiju Mania funding. For all of you that don't know, Alan was on previously promoting his book Kaiju Mania, which he did with a bunch of other creators. It was a pretty solid book. It was looked like it was a lot of fun, man. And I can't wait to read it when it's all done. How's that going, by the way?
It's going pretty well. I actually just got my portion of the story in lettered and everything, so got to see it in its fullest form, which was pretty cool. I'm actually working out the in fight right now, and we're going to get those pages banged out real quick, and then we're off to the prints.
Cool beans, man. Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to not do a live read, but do somewhat of an announcement with a disclaimer. The other day, my wife discovered a chilling Netflix announcement that Jerry Seinfeld will be teaming up with Netflix to create an animated, I don't know if it's a feature film or a series, called Unfrosted, where it's going to be about Pop-Tarts. And I'm super thrilled, but at the same time heartbroken, because that motherfucker thought about it first. But I would like to let the record show now that even though we're about a year out from that development, Mike already has a comic book in development for a superhero Pop-Tart who you guys get to look at every week, a couple times a week, every time you pay attention to the show. It was inspired by the graphic designer, Christopher Michael Lee, who designed the Pop-Tart logo for the show. And I can't wait to introduce him to the world in a few separate shorts. So I think it's a fun idea, though. Let's just hope it's not anything like Sausage Party.
Right, right.
I really don't want a bunch of pastries and a giant orgy at the end of the film. I had enough of that in Sausage Party. As funny as the movie was,
that scene where the dude got his head chopped off, though, that took me, like, that was, like, unexpected.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, though. I think my favorite part of that movie was not just the Indian, right, but the fucking the Stephen Hawking gum character.
Yeah, yeah.
Very trippy dude. And then, of course, they go into the future, and it's just like, what the hell, Seth Rogen? Like, where are you going from here?
Right.
We're going to go into a future where there's, what, food? Or maybe they'll pop up in Unfrosted. Who knows? Jerry Seinfeld has been very weird in his old age. Hopefully we don't get another B sequel.
The B.
Yeah, that was like...
I remember them hyping that movie up so big.
Well, I think he wanted it to be bigger. I don't think he wanted it to be bigger than it was. And it just, people were like, bees? I mean, it had a great concept, great story. I loved it for what it was. My kids loved it.
Yeah. I don't think I ever actually watched that one.
It's cute. It's cute. It walks right up to the line, though. You know, that line between, you know, people and animals and
right,
heartfelt relationships. Things that you don't really find unless you read Greek history. But it doesn't get too weird. Not too weird at all. Other than that, man, how are things going in the world of Alan Johnson?
It's going pretty well. Got this exciting project, which I was going to wait till Jesus was on to break the news. But essentially what we're doing, and we actually just canceled our Kickstarter because we're pushing it back so we can put a couple more things in there and do a couple more things. But we're doing a Breaking Bad, Walking Dead parody comic. And Jesus had this really cool idea that he approached me about that he's actually doing a film for. And asked me if, you know, I'd be interested in trying to adapt it to a comic. And I was definitely down because those are both, you know, shows I was definitely into for a while. And comic, well, I read the Walking Dead comic for sure. And I think it would be a really cool property for comic books. So, you know, we started, you know, putting together the pieces and team and whatnot. And we actually already have all the pages, the sketch, preliminary sketches done and are starting on line work and stuff like that. So that's exciting.
Awesome.
Is it cool if I call Jesus real quick and see if he's having a hard time getting in?
Yeah. By all means, go ahead.
For sure.
Now, for all you who don't know, we're talking about Jesus.
But right,
his full name is Jesus Payen Jr. And for those of you who don't know, he's one of the smaller characters of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. He appeared in season 1, episodes 6 and 7 as the character Gonzo in Breaking Bad, but also as Gonzo in Better Call Saul in season 1, episode 2. So we hope you recognize him. Spread the word if you know anybody who loves their show. I believe Better Call Saul closed out this past year, their last season.
Yeah, no video.
Yeah. So it's gonna be, it's always entertaining to have Hollywood caliber guests on the show. I've had a few actors in the past, they've all been really nice people. And I'm sure Jesus will grace us with his humor and character shortly.
Definitely. He's getting on right now. So yeah, you just hit that link and you'll have to like put a name and it will test your mic and then you just enter the recording.
Behind the scenes.
All right, for sure. I'll be in the show. All right, he's filling that out now, getting in.
I'm like in the show waiting for you.
And one of the cool things we're doing, especially with the Kickstarter, is Jesus actually has the opportunity to buy basically a replica Breaking Bad RV, and so we're going to secure the RV and do a tour across country to San Diego Comic-Con of 2023 with the finished comic to promote down there.
And the movie.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. There's a comic shop down here in Mississippi if you'd like to trek down south before you head west.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, anywhere we can set up tour stops right now, we're definitely all about.
Absolutely, yep. Man. You guys look up Three Alarms Comics. Sweet. I'll talk to my boy Scott. I think he'd love to have you guys. We get a pretty good crowd when people come into town. There's also Jax. He does a lot of anime-esque type stuff. But I'm pretty sure he wouldn't mind guest appearances in his shop either. Those are the two big shops that I have on the coast.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Also, I could talk to my boy John Labatard, and he can talk to the owner at Gamers and Geeks, where I just did KaijuCon this past weekend. Huge store.
Hell yeah!
But that one's in Mobile, so you guys are going from New Mexico, so you come down south, drive back to Mobile, and then you head out west. Then you guys can hit like Louisiana, Texas.
Yeah. Okay,
what was the idea? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just tuning back in because my roommate had asked for something.
Oh, okay. What else? If it goes the way we want it to go, we want to travel literally from where I'm at in New Mexico to California and then make our way all the way to the East Coast.
Oh, nice.
And back. And going, making a bunch of stops, stopping at different events, Comic Cons, throwing some events or attending events, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it'll just be a pretty much a a multi-month trip.
Yeah, an expedition, you know? Basically.
Yeah, we're going to be filming the whole thing, too.
As
we're making a documentary about it.
Oh, sweet. What a way to capitalize on the time, man. That's awesome.
Right? Because we want to stop at the secret stash, too, you know?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, since you mentioned that, Real Arms Comics is the sister store of the stash.
Really?
Yes.
See, yeah. That's all. I was wondering how I get a hold of them and to let them know what we're doing, you know, so.
Come down here, meet Scott. Scott might be able to make some inquiries with Mike on the East Coast. Guys, hook up.
Nice.
Because I plan on going to Scott's shop at least once or twice a month, hopefully, to do video shows. And when I announce the show switching to video format, I'll still have my audio side, but my video side will be bigger because one of the first guests I plan to bring on is Ming Chen.
Nice.
So, yeah, man, you guys should come down south. I didn't think there was a whole lot of industry down here until I started looking, but if you look close enough underneath all these rocks next to the river, there's lots of people out here.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Here. So, I didn't even know that Scott's store was a sister store of the stash up until I started going there more regularly and started talking to him.
Nice.
I was pretty surprised, man, because Kevin Smith, that's my idol right there, bub.
Right.
Growing up watching him, I watched him. It was like, I don't know if you have any fans, Jesus, who you've met who are like this, but like when you grow up watching somebody, you see them in their first ever thing, right? And then they make another thing, and then they make another thing, and then Dogma, and then everything else, and then the return show for Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back again, and then all he's doing now. Now he opened his own comic label. He's got Masquerade coming out. All this stuff. Right. It's like, if you never met him, but you feel like you know this person.
Yeah, almost definitely. I have the same thing with some of my fans, and I'm a huge fan of Kevin Smith and Jay Muse. And like I said, since, you know, the Clerks first came out, Jason, Amy, all of them, you know, and Mallrats, and just keep, you know, all those movies. I've watched them all and love what they've done. And yeah, I know Rosario Dawson, but not through them. It was through a whole different situation. When I first started acting, I had been designing celebrity MySpaces.
Oh, wow.
She had reached out to me to ask me how, you know, I could do some stuff for her MySpace. And that's when I got discovered, not through her, but at that time. And I went to her and I was like, oh, shit, I just got a speaking role. I was just walked on and set. You know, and she was the one that told me, she was, they like you for what you look like and who you are. Just be yourself. Calm the fuck down. And, just be yourself, because that's the easiest thing to repeat over and over and over in film, you know, because you have to do like 30 takes, you know what I mean?
Right. That's priceless information right there.
Right?
That's crazy, man. Your discovery story almost sounds like Ming Chen's discovery story. He was designing websites, and Kevin Smith had found a website he designed for being, you know, a fan of like Clerks, and I reached out to him to do website stuff, and that's kind of how Ming got discovered by Kev.
Nice.
You know, Comic Book Man, and then all the stuff that Ming Chen does now, going from con to con. He does a lot of editing and panels and stuff, and then he has that podcasting school with Mike Zabcic over there on the East Coast at the Stash.
Sweet.
That's pretty awesome. So,
yeah, I just want to make comics, do comic cons, make films, and chase Bigfoot, you know?
I feel that.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Bigfoot, huh? That's
that's a
lifetime phenomenon right there.
Yeah, after bodyguarding and being a bodyguard against scary regular humans, I decided, why not chase after something twice as big and strong?
And somewhat supernatural too, because in all the years that people have been chasing Bigfoot, no one's been able or has been too scared to get up close and personal with footage. even some of the hair and the footprints people find is pretty sketch. And
yeah,
those can be thrown out by scientists. So,
well, that's the thing though. I've got pictures, I've got footage. I know another guy out of Canada has really clear footage, and I got to work on the genome study with Oxford University and New Mexico State University, Ohio University, and 100 blind university study on the genome for Sasquatch. We had over 100 samples, so we got to do a study on the actual DNA of Bigfoot.
Holy shit. So is it real? It's not that anybody has real evidence, is the evidence is being suppressed then.
Yeah, it's more of nobody's really paying attention, because we put it out there, and a lot of the news channels don't want to cover it. It's still the government still doesn't want to officially admit it. And because our DNA study, the mitochondrial DNA for the female side of Bigfoot is human. So that was another big issue, that the original mother of the first Bigfoot was a human. So the other DNA, the other side, the father's side, is a primate, but it's unknown, because we obviously have never got the DNA before. So we can't compare it to other Bigfoot DNA in our DNA libraries.
Holy shit.
And Jesus and I are actually, once we're done with the Breaking the Dead project, going to be doing a continuation series of basically retellings of different accounts and experiences.
Yeah, with the Bigfoots, and it's called The Adventures of Breaking Bigfoot, because I have a YouTube channel where you can see me hunting Bigfoot and showing all my evidence and all that. It's called Breaking Bigfoot, you know, like Breaking Bad.
That's awesome, man.
Heck yeah. It's gonna be a cool ass comic too.
So the real mystery isn't whether or not Bigfoot's real. It's we're trying to find Bigfoot Prime so we can get that DNA sample.
Yeah, well, the thing is that a lot of the scientists and just average people will not accept it until we kill one and have a body available to be looked at.
That's so far, Eric.
You know, it kind of sucks, because literally we have tons of hair from Bigfoot. We have whole hand imprints with fingerprints, footprints with footprint, actual fingerprints, but on the feet, you know, and they're not human. They run a whole different direction than human feet prints run, you know. And we got a whole body cast of one that laid down in some mud. The list goes on. We've actually got everything that you even need to convict somebody in a court of law for murder or something. You know what I mean? But until they, like I said, bring a dead one, nobody's going to give it any credence. So I just continued chasing it and go make some comic books about it and tell the stories of all the crazy encounters people have dealt with Sasquatch, and the ones I've seen, you know?
God, people are so retarded. I swear to God.
Mm-hmm.
Eat a dead body, and this isn't real. Okay, so we've got lots of questions and evidence, but...
Yeah, well, what's trippy is, like, not even 100 years ago, they thought the gorilla was make-believe. It wasn't real. Or the panda. The panda didn't exist either, they said. It was just a figment of a local tribe's imaginations.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy. I wouldn't even expect it to drop like that. That's so cool.
You know?
All your passions are pretty much playing into one thing.
Yeah, it's all coming together now, and yeah, it's like I thought I had fulfilled all my dreams, and then I realized actually I hadn't. I had pushed over other dreams to work on new ones because of the situation I fell in. And now I'm getting my chance to go back to my art, and which was my original.
So this is a really awesome thing. So your career in acting was basically just like one of those fly by the seat of your pants things that just kind of came along, and you answered the call.
Yeah, I was at the time I was owning a tattoo parlor, salon, art gallery, and. There was a really bad, one of the worst storms New Mexico had seen in like 80 years or something. And the ceiling of my store caved in. And the owner of the store had just apparently been arrested and was facing 37 counts of statutory rape. going to prison. And turns out he had no insurance on the building, so I lost everything. Oh, and that same week, my parents told me that they wanted me to be the one that takes care of them when they get old and handle their funerals and all that stuff, their deaths. And then that same week, I got a letter from the government saying, hey, you've got a three-year-old little girl and you owe us a shitload of money.
Oh, my God.
That was, I lost my business, but now my parents want me to handle their death, and I found out I had a daughter who was being sued by the government for child support. Lost all my licenses, everything, all in one week. So I decided, I was like, shit, man, I'm going to have to, if I'm going to be able to do all this stuff, I need to make a shitload of money, excuse my language, a lot of money. And the three things that popped in my head that wouldn't take 12 years, you know, to get a degree or whatever and spend, you know, getting more debt was become a famous rapper, win the lottery, or become a famous actor. So at the time, I didn't know how to rap, so that was out of the picture. I went and bought a lottery ticket. I didn't win. That was gone. And so I had left was to become an actor. And because of my looks, I get stereotyped a lot. So I knew I'd get loved in Hollywood. And I went to a casting call for extras for a Steven Seagal movie. And my dad told me that I had to get a job, chop off my goatee, be a regular person. And I said, no, Mom, become an actor, Pops. And he was like, no, you're not. You're crazy. You're 30 years old. You can't just decide to become an actor one day out of nowhere. And I was like, yes, I can, because I'm a crazy guy. And he was like, well, I'll give you 30 days. If you can become an actor in a movie in 30 days, I won't make you. You won't have to get a regular job, and you can stay being your weird self. So on the 28th day, I got the phone call that I got the role as an extra, which – you know, I didn't tell my dad that. I told him that I was in the movie speaking because that was the deal. I was like, oh, yeah, I got lines and everything. And I showed up, and through confusion, one of the first ADs on the set thought I was Danny Trejo's and took me to his trailer, let me be in his trailer and everything. And because he walked up to me, he was like, who are you? And I was like, well, they said I'm the bad guy. I'm the leader of, you know, East Los Angeles Cholo gang. And he was like, oh, it makes sense. And that's when he took me over there. And then after a while, came knocking on the door and told me I had lied to them. He's like, you're not Danny Trejo's. And I was like, hey, man, you just asked who I was. I said, I was the bad guy. You're the one that thought that, you know? And so they took me to the right side of the set where all the extras were, and you could see a car flipped over, burning at a train yard. Steven Seagal beating up a bunch of little Mexicans. And I ended up getting the role that day to fight Steven Seagal because I'm kind of a big guy, bigger than the average Chicano. It's over 6 feet, and Steven Seagal's 6'5". So it looked like he was beating up little kids, you know, when you got normal size Mexicans. And I ended up going to Steven Seagal's hotel that night, and we got to fight each other, and that's how I started my career as an actor and stuntman.
That's awesome, man. What movie was that in with Steven Seagal?
Urban Justice.
Urban Justice. Shit, I think that's on Tubi.
Yep.
I can't remember.
That's
awesome. And so how did you and Alan hook up and start this, you know, wonderful idea for project?
Well, we were friends on Facebook before we did any of this, and I saw his comic Kaiju, the Kaiju one, and I hit him up, and I was like, dude, I have a really cool idea. I just want to throw it at you, see if you know anybody you can direct me to so I can get this made. And he told him what it was, and he was like, hey, I'll do it. He was like, I'm down. And I was like, well, shit, I'm down too, man. As long as you're serious, let's do it. And that's how it started. Yeah.
And then I just started, you know, doing the same basic process I did with Kaiju Mania, finding the team. And we took his script for the short film, because essentially what this comic is explaining the how and whys of the events of his short film and how we got to that point. And this goes further into detail about that, essentially.
Yeah, and a lot more Easter eggs.
Yeah, and it was an opportunity to just further expand on the concept of the two universes being, you know,
in one. Yeah.
So is the concept of Breaking Dead, is it kind of like the seriousness and complexities of Walking Dead meets the complexities and tone of like Breaking Bad?
Definitely. We definitely keep the tones of, you know, the perspective universes. There's definitely more Breaking Bad leaning situations going on and more just Walking Dead innuendos. And that's because we have more freedom within the Breaking Bad universe than the Walking Dead universe right now.
Yeah. Well, just know this. When the movie begins, or the comic, whichever you're looking at the time, the Walking Dead hasn't happened yet. There's no zombies yet. By the end of the comic and the film, we're full on in Walking Dead show.
Gotcha.
You know,
it's going to be an interesting combination of violence and comedy and humor, but also like a serious undertone.
So yeah, exactly.
Are there any characters that you guys can talk about, or kind of like who the story revolves around as far as concept goes?
Alan, go ahead and say what you think you want to say.
So if you follow the Breaking Bad universe, our story essentially picks up after the events of what would be El Camino. And we focus on Walt's son, Walt Jr., who in our story, for obvious reasons, is referred to as Boss or, you know, just Junior. And it's essentially telling, you know, a story about how he finds himself in a situation where he needs some quick money because he gets kicked out of school for getting in a fight with a lunch lady over a breakfast dispute. And
quite a violent interaction too.
And he's trying to start his, you know, breakfast restaurant. And so he remembers the family business and he decides, you know, he's gonna pick up where Walt left off. And so he decides he needs to figure out who his dad was working with, if any of them are still alive. And he quickly gets intermingled with some of the people that Walt dealt with in the show. And they're able to do, like, the moving the drugs and stuff like that, but they can never figure out how to make it. And so they need somebody who's smart, which is where Walt Jr. comes into place. And Walt Jr. is definitely smart, but he's also more or less clumsy.
Yeah, not a chemist either, you know?
And he ends up, you know, messing up the chemical recipe that was left by Jesse before he went to El Camino, before he went to Alaska in the events of El Camino. And so through messing up the formula, once they pass this off to their cooks, that recipe ends up being the drug that causes the Walking Dead epidemic.
Oh, wow. All this shit over breakfast food.
Yep. Oh. Because of his damn waffles.
And turkey bacon. Don't get him started on turkey bacon.
Nope. Don't you ever say that around that boy.
It's not real bacon.
You don't know how close you are right there to part of that story. That was the last thing that lunch person ever heard. That's not bacon.
That's a story in inside of.
So you guys want to go? Page. Was that?
I said that was the first page only.
That's the first page. Holy shit! Well, don't.
Yeah.
Let's leave a clip here for the audience. Right. I'm giving away stuff over here. So you guys want to do a tour in the original or one of the original Breaking Bad RVs from New Mexico to California and then backtrack all the way up, you know, to the coasts, up to the East Coast. What is the times table are you guys looking at doing this in 2023, or is it going to be from like 2022 into 2023 and beyond?
So the comic's actively being made right now. We're planning on having it print ready by, you know, the end of the year, so that by the time 2023 rolls around and we have all of our tour stops figured out, we have copies on hand and on deck and ready to go.
Okay. And then everything else is pretty much just promotion for like the are you guys going to kickstart that as well? Or are you guys going to gonna sell that and then do the indie film?
We'll probably do the Indiegogo thing for that, for the film. We don't need that huge of a budget, so that's good, you know? Yeah, we could probably do everything completely for about $20,000.
Well, it's not bad.
Everything. The tour, the whole deal, you know?
Yeah, that's realistic for sure.
You know, and
I recommend a Kickstarter and then into an Indiegogo. You get fans from both crowdfunding platforms.
Yeah, that was our basic plan. We had kind of jumped the gun with our first Kickstarter, and
that was my bad.
We made the decision to, you know, take it down, and we're reformulating everything, getting everything polished up, and then we're going to hit the ground running with another Kickstarter here by probably early September by the latest. And that will be, you know, our main source of funding, and then we'll roll into the Indiegogo for the film side of things for the most part.
Hey, man, you can't fault yourself for being excited and ready to go.
Right.
And the cool thing is, once we do go on that tour and we get to San Diego, we'll be announcing our next projects.
Okay.
Which we have a full slate lined up.
Yep.
Shit. Well, should you ever need a podcast to cover?
Right.
Or an editor. I'm not too far away. Or a writer.
Good friends to know. Are everywhere. Right. No, seriously, that's the thing is, even though I'm not like in every episode or, you know, of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, I still had a lot of interaction with the fans over the years.
Right.
And a lot of fans. And I've done a lot of, you know, appearances and visiting schools and all kinds of different things. And once you really get to, you build a relationship with being, you know, having fans and interacting with them. And then I did a Comic-Con, and it was just love everywhere. You know, besides the normal, you know, drama between vendors and whatnot like that, but it's a really awesome thing to have a bunch of people that love what you love, you know, and if I can do that the rest of my life, I'm enjoying things like that, doing things like that, creating for the people more than just acting. That's what I want to do, and that's why I want us to go all the way across, you know, the United States doing this.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, totally. Cool. I feel that all the way, and that's why when, you know, Jesus approached me about it, I was like fully on ship, you know.
Pretty awesome. That's the spirit of collaboration. One person approaches the other, and the other one's just like, "Let's go."
Yeah.
And there's no second questions about it. It's only planning and doing.
Oh, you don't know how long I've been trying to make this happen for a few years now.
And, oh wow.
And that's really stressful. Like, I had this idea while we were filming the first season of Better Call Saul. Okay.
Oh, long time ago.
And then over the years that evolved into, you know, what exactly what I wanted to do. And then I started trying to, you know, look for people that, you know, within my circles of you know, Facebook and all that, trying to, you know, see who's down to do something with me in that way. But like, no one took me seriously, and I'd get blown off. They just thought I was being crazy, you know, because I do a lot of wacky stuff. And yeah, when I saw Alan's project, and I was just I had to jump and try at least. And you know, like I said, the relief when he said that he was down to make things happen. I was like, finally.
I mean, not only down, but the fact that you actually, you know, put your faith in me to be able to collaborate with you was like awesome. Because, like I said, definitely Breaking Bad has a sentimental place in my heart as far as pop culture and content goes. I relate closely to the story in more ways than I could ever explain. But yeah, so it was like kind of like one of them pinch me moments in my creative career.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome, man.
And like you said, like you said, everything led to this point, you know, with all my film, and because I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now if I hadn't done all the film that I've done. Because right. Then they say, "Oh, you're trying to be too big for your bitching boy," you know, and had to, I guess, build my cred. You know what I mean? In that world. For them to let me do stuff like this. And after this, we're working on a project right now that I've already spoken to Vince Gilligan about, and he liked it. So there's really cool things coming up. And now that we're able to do this, this will open that official door to show I was in bull-essing, and yeah, we made it happen.
Yeah, and Michael's actually tapped to do one of the fan theories.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited about that, man. That's going to be really cool.
For the massive collection of Fan Theory Madness project?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Talk about that for a second.
What was that?
Talk about that for a second, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. So, you know, in conjunction with everything else we got going on, we're putting together a 120 to 140 page anthology. We're trying to get as many, you know, writers and illustrators involved with it as possible. And essentially each story will be like 10 pages, and it's up to the writer which fan theory they want to take on and what, you know, take they want to take on it. And we're just going to present it as one book. You know, like I said, it's a massive collection of fan theories, so each one will be a little bit different. Get a little variety in the stories you're reading. Yep. And some of the fan theories, I'm sure, are long-lived things that people wanted to see come to life in some sort of way.
Yep. I know mine is.
Heck yeah.
Not going to talk about it here, though. Not yet. Not just yet.
That's cool. But yeah, it's called the Multiverse of Fan Theory Madness.
Oh, that's cool. I like that, multiverse. Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Well, because it kind of, you know, when people go to talk about it, it's like, oh, well, that didn't happen. And like, it doesn't have to. There's universe out there, bro.
Exactly. It exists in its own little pocket universe.
Yeah. Yep, and I like to make short films for each one, you know, like the theory that we do.
That would be dope.
You know, for YouTube, all the films that we make are going to be free on YouTube to watch.
Yeah.
How about that? Free? You don't say.
Yes, man. Sir.
You know, I don't know this, and I don't know why, but free stuff with it gives you more than what people think it does.
Good.
The concept of giving things away for free doesn't build right. Business, get you fans. That's not true at all. In the world of marketing, you get something away for free, you're more likely to get that fan. Or
yep.
And then hit that like or hit that share or subscribe to my channel. You know, if you give something for free, especially if your channel isn't monetized, people are just...
I am.
Oh, it doesn't happen.
Look.
I'm just saying, like, free stuff gets you fans.
People, yeah, I don't know for sure. And I just thought that'd be so cool. That, you know, like I said, I make that video go live, you know, when we go to the Comic-Con with the release of the comic book, you know, and do a, see, you know, get a, be able to show it at the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome, man. You guys have like done the homework though. So like, which one of these tables cost money? I mean, CDCC. That's a huge breakdown. I've seen a lot of breakdown pages, and I'm just like, yeah, I can't afford that in about 5 years.
Yeah, well, I would be going as one of their celebrity guests.
Okay, so you're already in the show then.
Gotcha. You know what I mean? So it's a whole different situation. Yeah, they book me.
Okay, cool beans. What a way to leverage your experience. That's awesome.
Heck yeah. You smoke them if you got them, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's true. True. And actually, you actually probably make money doing that and saving money. So,
oh, yeah. No, for sure.
It's actually paying for each project pretty much. So that's pretty indicative.
Yep. So my dream situation, okay, for that day, like Comic-Con, this would be the dream. If they would want it, show up in the RV. They gave us an area where we can have the RV there. We set up our tables in front of the RV. We have cosplays as Zombie Heisenberg, Zombie Tuco, and Zombie Nodos with me.
And, that'd be sick. You
know, right? And of course, Alan would be there right next to me, you know, our table selling our comics and the other comics from 8th World, you know? And that would be my ideal situation. And yeah, when we get to show the movie, that would be my most awesome entrance into the comic book creator world and the Comic-Con world, you know, officially to do that and start our real big tour.
That'd be dope. Yeah. Set up that social media stuff.
Hashtags. Yeah, we're gonna have to figure all that out too.
Yeah.
That's why we're a year out. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. It's always best to have a plan than just show up to the party. or else you end up in playing the wrong part.
Exactly.
How awesome would it be?
In that moment, had you like gone on the set and they walked you out there as the Danny? Oh well, I guess I'm Danny. I'm like, no, you're not Danny. And they're like, screw it, we'll find Danny and we'll let you play the part so we can just get their stuff out of the way.
Sure, right?
That's happened in Hollywood where like where they shoot scenes and they do like mock scenes just to get the other actor ready for the role and the feel of kind of like what they have to do.
Oh yeah, well it's just like. It was funny, like when we're shooting Breaking Bad, anytime Tuco or Raymond Cruz stood next to me, he had to stand on an apple box.
Oh, yeah.
And he was still a lot shorter than me. You know what I mean? So it's like, out of the actors that we do have that are Mexican, Chicano, you know, Cholo world, they're all normal size ones. So, you know, your average is going to be 5'6", 5'7". 5'8", you know, the occasional Benjamin Bratt, you know, that's 6 foot or whatever. So yeah, it's hard to place me when I'm doing my film. That's why I have a specific, just like Danny Trejo, he has a specific look, that specific roles he plays, you know. And, I'm in the same situation.
Make it to over 6 foot, but the good Lord said I stopped at 6 feet. So,
damn.
No, 6'2".
When I turned 24, up until I was 24, I was 6 feet tall, and then I grew 4 more inches.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and then I through time and getting heavier, now it's 3 inches. You know, well, as I lose weight, I get tall.
They say when you get older, your form becomes a little more bent over, and your spine actually. And I was like, what?
Yeah, well, like Danny Trejo, when he was in his 40s, 30s, he was 5'6". Now he's like 5'4", maybe, I guess, 5'3".
That poor bastard.
It's a trip, because I never little dude. You know what I mean? Until I started doing film with them. And I was like, oh, crap. Wow, what a trip.
That is the Was he bitter about it, or just kind of like?
Oh no, no. Like I said, he's a normal Chicano, so it wasn't weird or nothing. You know, that's how I am with all my friends from back in the day that I know and family. I was always, you know, way taller than everybody. So, but yeah, no, he's, you know, Danny's is one cool dude, man. I've never ever heard a complaint. And oh, except for I'm sure some guys in prison, but 22 years ago. But you know, other than that, I've heard nothing but good things about him. He's a super, super humble dude, you know, good guy. Makes a hell of a taco.
He's an awesome actor. He did He did a part in Far Cry 6, the game, that I loved so much because he had to protect the stands and fetch his taco meat. And he was basically like a fajita expert. Nice. You had to protect him from this South American sea of soldiers coming to seize his taco stand. It was the funniest shit I ever played in the Far Cry series ever. But he was so well suited for that role. It's just crazy. Like 50 caliber bullets flying past your head, and he's asking you, like, "Hey, go over there. I think I'm in the box. I need that meat. Right. I'm gonna fix tacos." And it's just like this is crazy.
That's
funny. I've always his work. I was even more impressed. I read his biopic doc book that came out, and didn't realize all the previous life experience that he had accumulated before he became a movie star. So I'm like a super humble person. He's on my top 10. If I could meet a celebrity actor list,
nice.
He would definitely be on there. Rosario Dawson's on there as well. And then Kevin Smith and just about it. And Kevin Smith's posse that's ever done.
Right. For real.
So
that'd be so cool.
That would, a dream right there. So one day I'll make it out to LA. Got a lot of stuff to tie up here in the South, and my babies are out here, so
right.
It's hard to separate yourself from your children, so
yep.
So, Alan, if you don't have kids, man, and you want to have all that stuff, go have all that stuff first and then have kids.
Yeah, no, I decided a long time ago I had to have a life before I was ready to share a life.
Yeah. Respectable perception there. I wish everybody thought that way. They have less problems. Did you ever get a chance to meet your daughter that the government tried to, you know, say, hey, you got to pay for this person? You're like, I don't even know this person.
Yeah, I did. I did get to meet her and fought a long, long time in court and everything to get her back to me, you know, and she went back with her mom and at 17 ran away, and I haven't seen her since.
Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that, brother.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Hopefully one day
brought it up.
She'll come back.
That's the thing about life, you never know.
Right?
You know, it's a fickle thing about troubled kids though, man. Like they have to find themselves, and usually later on in adulthood.
Yep.
Coming back and admit wrongs and, you know, tie things off.
Yeah, well, this thing blows up. I'm sure she'll pop up somewhere.
Oh, you mean like in Sons of Anarchy when Tig's daughter kept asking her for money?
Yep.
She only pop up when she needed something up until she was burned alive in season 3.
Yeah,
exactly.
Season 5.
Right. Oh, was it 5? Okay, it was 5.
That's that. Show I have a very close place in my heart with. So
I watched that series like 7 times. I don't know why I forgot that.
No,
close. I like that dark.
What was that?
I want to get on that show, The Mayans.
Yeah, that would be dope.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. Fucking, oh mm-hmm. My god, easy.
You know, there's a scene in Breaking Bad that I always thought was like a nod to Sons of Anarchy when Jesse is all like tweaking out and looking out the window and the guys are coming up that are on the bikes.
Right?
Yeah, man. Easy just went dark side. I was really, really.
Yeah, they really kind of shifted his whole character around a little bit.
Oh man, did they ever. He just became like, I don't know, I simply summed it up into two words, like the boss. and what he did to the former president, man.
I was really happy to see Tig again.
Yeah, Tig. I don't know. I don't like the little Easter egg at the end, and then the series cuts off. I'm like, so now I guess we're gonna go into season four. It's gonna be an all out just Mayans and the Suns war,
right?
That's gonna be dope.
Five.
I hope you get that role, man. I'd love to see you in the show, bro. It seems like
it's super cool. Oh. I'm actually Mayan too, so it's funny.
That's awesome.
I've got Mayan tattooed across my chest.
Oh, well, hey, you could use that as like, well, you right. know, I fit into this show. See, look, I had this.
Exactly.
See.
And I ride a motorcycle. It's like, come on, get it with the program, guys.
Yeah, tell him, it's like, man, I know lots of countryside out in New Mexico you guys can shoot to use as Mexico on the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's still pretty desolate out there in New Mexico, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We have some forests, but they're literally the United States' smallest national forests. You know, other than that, it's all desert.
All the good stuff is preserved, sort of.
Right.
That's eminent.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about what we're doing right now, and every day getting more done and more done, and getting to see it unfold in reality is a really, really cool feeling. You know.
That's awesome. So, what do you think about the comic creating process or the production process of comics?
I like how it rolls. I wanted to make comics a long time ago when I was younger. I used to do the artwork and make my own little comic strips. I did a comic strip in high school and then one later for a local newspaper. I've been dabbling and dibbling in it for a long time. But now I'm getting to see the full process, how it's done now, because it's changed somewhat from way back in the day when I was young, you know? Well, just technology-wise, you know what I mean? 30 years ago, 35 years ago was different.
None of this would have been possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, there was only a few publishers around. There's still some pretty... intricate old school publishers out there, at least independent artists and
writers
that still do like the penciling and the actual like inking, and some, there's very few, but some people still do.
The comic itself would have been possible, but the networking aspect, like, other stuff.
No. 1-800 collect go carrot top or a pager.
Well, yeah, just like the inking process and the coloring process. Like I said, back in the day, it was with live inking colors, you know. Now it's electronic on drawing boards, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, mainstream, and for a lot of people, that seemed to catch on really well with like the next couple generations. So digital art is picked up pretty well. There's an issue though sometimes with vector art that when you create it and you get to the coloring process, when you print it out, sometimes the CMYKs or the RGB files end up coming out darker. So it's really all about technique and styles and paying attention to some things.
I'm learning something every day from Alan about the comic book, how it's being made and what goes and all that stuff. So I'm trying to pay attention and learn from people that are actually doing it, you know?
that's the only way to do it. That's how I learned everything in my life, just thrown into the lion's den. Really? And say, here's a hammer. Find out what this is for and then go do it. Okay. The hammer's the nails.
Right.
There's always something to learn in comics, man. I've been in this business for a couple of years now, and I'm still learning new stuff every day.
Oh yeah, always learning.
Yeah, and then it's so profound to be an independent comic book maker too, because especially for a lot of people who don't work for traditional publishing houses, so yeah. there are a lot of things being done in indie comics that publisher houses don't usually produce, like different ways to like showcase art in a page. Some people break traditional paneling
and horizon line for, you know, acute visualizations of characters. And so there's actually been an American manga hybrid style that's been picking up a lot, that I've seen pretty much come into indie comics this past year. I'm starting to see it more and more and more and more and more. And it's kind of looking like American comics might end up being, you know, the next big manga thing. And one day we might be able to invade the Japanese market with American manga, because their style is really changing that much. Their styles are profound.
I'm going to be hitting up Japan for sure, because, like, apparently in Japan, low riding and cholo stuff is like a big thing, you know, like in the tattoo, the like cholo Mexican gangster tattoos and all that stuff. I mean, like, if you look it up on the internet or on YouTube, trip out. There's like whole big groups of Japanese kids that have 63 Impalas on hydraulics. I mean, the whole deal, straight up, you look like you went into East LA. It's true.
That's a wild world thing. Like, if you went to Japan, because their culture is so Japan, even though you have these like little hybrid groups of people who like look outside into world culture and they like emulate that, but like there's like no Westernization over there really. It's Japanese Westernization style.
Well, they have a Comic-Con, so
that's
they got a Comic-Con. They have Breaking Bad stores out there too.
Oh, do they? Really?
Yeah, you know, they love some Breaking Bad. Yeah.
It'd just be wild to go to a different country and see the Western world from a different perspective.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to go to Australia, too. That's where my wife's from. So get to visit the in-laws and go do Comic-Con out there, too. It's like, it's big. I'm down to go around the world. You know, I'm happy to. I've been around the world before. I'll do it again.
That's awesome, you know? Man. I got some comics published with Super Serious Comics, which is owned by Morgan Quaid. He's a buddy of mine. He lives out there in Australia. Nice. Ripping it up. I got comic friends all over the world. And that's one of the most coolest things, the coolest things about being an independent comic creator. Like, your friends are like from everywhere. They're not just isolated to like your hometown or to the state over. I've got friends in Canada. I've got friends in the UK. I've got friends here in the US and different states all over. It's wild, man. It's wild. Technology is a double-edged sword. Can't live without it, but sometimes we need to.
Right.
So, man, is there any social media plugs or CTAs that you guys want to, you know, listeners to point to?
All that stuff will be coming momentarily. We appreciate you for having us on. Like I said, we'll be relaunching the Kickstarter probably early September.
We'll be, man. The title of this is the Breaking Dead?
Breaking the Dead, yeah.
Breaking the Dead, okay. Breaking the Dead. Jesus, man, anything you want to plug before we...
Sure. If y'all want to see your old big homie Jesus hunting Bigfoot and doing Bigfoot research, go to YouTube and search Breaking Bigfoot, or youtube.com/Breaking Bigfoot. You'll see a picture of Bigfoot, but with old Jesus's face on it.
That's awesome, man. And I'll put all these links in the show descriptions.
I appreciate it, brother.
No problem, man. Thank you guys so much for coming on to the show. I appreciate it.
And bye, Kaiju Mania.
Kaiju Mania.
Kaiju Mania, and by Breaking the Dead when it comes out. And stay tuned on some other cool projects coming.
Yeah, they'd be tight, you know?
Tight.
Awesome, man. Well, my name is Inevitable Mike. Thank you for watching the show. Thank you for listening in. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Alan, for coming on and sharing your stories with us. And
absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, sir.
It was a pleasure speaking with y'all. Conversation is a commodity that people take for granted all the time. Not here on Comics and Pop Tarts. We love it, and we're glad you showed up for the tardy party. That'll be it for tonight's episode. But if you want to listen to more episodes and for more exciting guests like Jesus and Alan, you can go to comics and the letter N pop-tart.com for more exciting episodes. As always, stay positive and keep creating.
Yay. Yeah.